Okay, everyone. I might be a minute early. Oh, no, there it went. Okay, welcome back. I hope you had a great break. I did. Feel all refreshed and ready for the next section. So the first one we'll do is how to clear a room. And the easiest way to do it is imagine that there are roses, golden roses, at the corners of each of the rooms, so the ceiling and the floor. And so you have eight golden roses, and then you draw a line to the center of the room from each of the roses, and you have one big rose in the center of the room, and you ground that to the center of the earth. And it's basically like having those set points in the corners, pulling it all together, and a big grounding cord, a rose that represents a big grounding cord down to the center of the earth. And then you're going to set the room on release. So that would be the first thing that we do. And, you know, if I looked across the board at how many students we have online right now, we have 19 attendees right now. So if I looked at the attendees, how many rooms are black that people are sitting in, which would be, you know, just dark energy, not necessarily that you did anything, but that it hasn't shifted to a lighter energy. 13 of you are sitting in black. And how many of you are sitting in gray? 3 of you are sitting in gray. And then how many of you are sitting in a room that has color? So the other ones have white. 3 of you have white. And is anyone besides me sitting in a room with color? Is anyone else sitting in a room of color? No. Nope. Okay. So unless you counted white or black or gray as color. Okay. So we're going to, first of all, we're going to ground the room, and then we'll work on the color stuff. So I'm going to show you the steps here, which you might have seen when you were coming in. Okay. So we're putting 4 roses on the ceiling and 4 on the floor. So you've essentially got, so they're all in the corners of the room. Oops, sorry about that. And then you're going to put one rose in the center, draw a line from each of the corners to the center rose. Send the grounding cord down from the center rose to the center of the earth and release the energy, the dark energy in the room. So let's do that now. And you can use a quantum pump or your mind's eye, either one, but you could be pumping with your hand to help move this along. Okay, good job, everyone. I see that the We've been successful on clearing the color of the room. We're going to shift to another page so I can show you what the colors mean. So now we're going to shift into these colors up here, setting the room for colors. Green, wealth and healing. So green is the color for wealth and healing. Green or pink is divine love. Pink is divine female. And green is divine male love. Gold is God energy. Yellow, wisdom and learning. Orange, happiness. Pink, love. The color salmon or kind of peach maybe. Happiness and love, togetherness, that kind of thing. Purple is spirituality. But it's not spirituality in, it'd be like a meditation room you'd set at purple. You wouldn't set any other room at purple. Red could be passion, or it could be, depending on the color, or it could be stimulate anger. So you want to be, or aggression. So be careful with red in setting it in a room. I would say like a plum or fuchsia, if you're looking for something with red in it, those are really wonderful. Oh, I don't know how to spell fuchsia. That's funny. Neither does the computer. Let's see if that does it. That might be it. Okay, so that would be passion, but there would be no conflict. There would be no anger, you know, nothing that would be problematic in a, like a plum or a fuchsia or even cherry. Okay, so let's see, questions. Is that four roses at each corner, one rose in each corner? And if it's like an open doorway from the living room to the kitchen, etc. Let's go back to that page again, and we'll talk about that. Four roses on the ceiling. So it's only four roses, one in each corner. Four roses. A single rose in each corner. Four roses on the ceiling and four on the floor, four total roses. That would be a single rose for each area. So single rose, and then if you had multiple rooms, like an open concept, you can either ground each room individually and set the rooms at the colors you want, or you can ground the room together, in which case you might have 8 corners or 15 corners or something like that. So if you have more corners, that's okay. You just want to ground all ceiling and floor corners that are involved. And like for a kitchen, you might ground it in an earthy color. And for a living room, you might ground it in like a fun, playful color. So you might not ground them. You might not set them at the same color. You might set your whole house at the same color, but it's kind of fun to have different energies in different rooms. Oh, that's fine. That's really good, but I'm happy to clarify it. Very good. Okay. More questions on grounding, and then you can then move into setting the color. So let's go ahead now and have you set the color. So, you know, pick one of the colors. You've grounded your room. And now pick one of these colors to put into the room, and you can use just a simple quantum hand pump if you want to, and see the room flooded, and you're going to pump for just a little bit so you get it to 100%, so that all of your intended energy color is there. And you might, like I'm doing right now, I'm going to set my office right now at pink and green, which will be really good because it integrates the love, wealth, and healing in my office. So that feels really good to me, the pink and green. And you can have, you can either have it kind of variegated, like it's, or you can have like the top of the room is pink and the bottom of the room is green. You could do that. Or you could have it be kind of like a swirly Christmas candy, you know, where it's the two colors kind of are interacting, or like taffy or something, where the two are kind of woven together. Okay, I feel like everybody's got it. So let's go back again to this page. And now that you've shifted the room, you might still be shifting it. You can next, you can clear the energy below the room. For example, if you've got dark energies under the house, so you can clear the earth under the house. And we do the same thing where we just ground maybe the where the house meets the earth. And then you can ground down to the center of the earth. You can just set that on clear. So all of the land that your home is on or your apartment or whatever is on, let's go ahead and ground that. And we're going to set that on release and clear it. And you'll see that there is an end point of that dark energy, and then it just becomes like the fire of earth. So you can either imagine it grounding off, or you can just quantum pump, clear the color. And a good earth color is brown or green, clay color or brown or green. Those are all good colors for earth. So if you're resetting something that was black, you might want to give it one of those colors. But you can do any color. Earth likes all colors. So if you wanted to do pink, or you wanted to do, you know, violet or lavender. By the way, violet and lavender would come in on those happy spiritual colors. Okay. Question. So, Renee, I have one room that used to be each of the kids' bedrooms, and I have been told by a couple people that its doorway or vortex could ground in the same way. My kids swear it was haunted and no one will sweep in it. It probably is, and we're going to go to clearing spirits next. So, Renee, let's save that for the next process. We're going to clear spirits. And then can I have green floor, peach walls, and plum roof? You can have whatever you want. And understand we're not changing the paint colors. We're actually, if you can imagine, it's not necessarily being the walls, but being the whole room. So when you look across, you see clear, but if you looked etherically, you'd see the color. So then you'd have the foundation would be, you know, green, and then the main part of the room where you're walking through would be peach, and then the ceiling would be plum. Yeah, you can do whatever you like. Blue. Blue is the energy of peace. Thank you. I'll put that back up there and add blue. So you wouldn't necessarily want this in a room where you had to be busy and active because you wouldn't get a lot done with peace and calm and stillness. But you might do it in a meditation room or a room that's used for resting or relaxing. You're welcome. and aquamarine and teal. And colors in those frequencies. That's healing and peace together. And they are very luscious. Blue could be good for a bedroom if it's just used for sleep. Mm-hmm. Definitely. One thing about blue, depending on the color blue that you use, it could actually have the room feel cool or cold, as well as a straight-on purple could have the room feel cool or cold, because they're not colors that have warmth built into them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm at a phase where I'm definitely open to my divine compliments coming in. And I've got my room in plums and fuchsia, like a cherry color. So I've got kind of the rich colors, passion in there. The welcome mat is ready for when the right man comes into my world. But then you want to also set the space. Like I said, you could have colors in the house on the walls and ceiling. And if you didn't actually clear the fields that you live in, they could potentially be all black and gray, which they were until you consciously changed them. And you'll notice that it's just so lovely to be in a home that's really been consciously set. The energy's been set beautifully. And I'm getting that only maybe not everybody's got this yet. So we're going to keep working on this a little more. So just keep working on the color. We don't quite have the shift done yet. Oh, nice, Elizabeth. Well, you have to let me know when you meet him. We can go through that process together. That would be wonderful. Oh, that's interesting. So a Facebook buddy may be a candidate. Very cool. Okay, looks like everybody got this. Good, 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 good. So now you'll have this technique. So, you know, you'll know what to do, what steps to take to, you know, really shift the energy of a room or the entire house. So you could do it for the entire house too, and then under the earth. So you know how to shift the energy to a nice color under the earth. And everybody got that right? Yep, everybody did. Okay. And then you're going to go through the list and test for spiritual parasites, ghosts, etc. So, hang on one sec. Let's see if I lined that up. Nope, I didn't. Oh, and we didn't clear entities yet. That's right. We cleared aliens, but not entities. Well, that's okay. We'll get to those. We did transmortals. Let's see what this one says. Spiders and snakes. We did those. Okay, so we'll still, once we get this cleared, we still have to clear entities. I'm so glad I clicked. Can't not do the entities. What would a good choice for a 12-year-old boy? Green or blue, probably. I bought orange. He loves orange, but would need some peace and calm, too. Yeah, orange and blue are really nice together, Roxanne. I would try orange and blue. I think that'd be great. Okay, so let us look at the room you're in. And what I'd like you to do is use muscle testing to test and see, are there any ghosts in the room? Are there any ghosts in my office? No. I want to test, are there any ghosts in the bathroom upstairs? Was there a ghost in the bathroom upstairs? Yesterday, after class, I walked upstairs, and I have these beautiful kind of like glass bulbs on crystal strings hanging from the ceiling. And one of them was spinning in a circle. One of your ghosts had come to visit me. It was so funny. And I was like, that's enough of that. And I, you know, stopped the ball from swinging and told the ghost to leave. So you can tell the ghost to leave. But if ghosts are used to being in their house, they might not leave in a very friendly way. So then we have to lasso the rope around the ghost, ground it to the center of the earth, and hook it up to the Supreme Being. Usually, though, you can ask at least and say, do you want to leave on your own? Ghosts can be moved on. So let's test for the whole group, ghosts in their entire house. How many ghosts do we have? Do I have any ghosts in my house? I do. There are two ghosts in my house. That's a surprise to me. Are they new? Did they come? They came pretty recently, okay, because I cleaned the house of ghosts not too long ago. All right, and for the whole group, how many ghosts in the houses for, how many people do we have online right now? Do we have 19? 19. I don't know if all of them are students, but for all the students in any case, how many ghosts for all the students? Students' houses, not in the students' bodies, students' houses. Hundred and 117 ghosts between all of the students' houses. All right, so what we're going to do is, first of all, we're going to bring in Jesus, Mary, Kuan Yin, Buddha. We're just going to say, you know, ask for their help. And if any of these ghosts want to move on, we're just asking that you be here to help lift them into their next. Jesus just said yes, but most of them won't go. Okay, so we probably already know that, but it's just a nice little step to have that we're, you know, making sure that if someone is stuck and they get the opportunity to leave, go into one of the healing temples, that they be given that opportunity. So I'm going to talk for a few minutes and not look at the chat box, and then I'm going to come back to the chat box. I'm not ignoring you. I just want to go through this process, because it actually takes me looking on the other side at the same time that I'm talking to you, and I've got my eyes open. So, okay, we're going to communicate with all 117 ghosts, And just this is an opportunity to leave. And we can put you into one of the heavenly healing temples. There definitely are a few going into the healing temples. Yeah, looks like 21 of them are heading off to the healing temples. So that already lightens the burden, right? And we'll just hold that space. And how I hold the space when I start dialoguing like this is I have my hands like this. And I'm holding the space for them to make their shifts. I'm really kind of holding them. Not holding them physically, but just, you know, creating an environment where it's what it's like a foundation rather than kind of floating around in a house. They have a foundation of you're being held and loved and uplifted, that kind of an experience. Okay, and we got them all the ones that wanted to leave. So those are gone. Did anyone have a sensation of the ghost leaving? Did you feel something physically in your body shift or become less tense? That's sometimes a signal. And now I will look because I've stopped that process. We'll do the next process in a minute. Let's see. Vanya, that's nice. He's up for changing and shifting. I get a yes on ghosts in my living room. Yes, like the wind, Jyoti. Very good. Yeah, that can be the way it feels, like the wind leaving through the house. Okay, so the next step for, let's see how many ghosts are left. Oh, looks like around 98 ghosts. So the next step is to identify, let's see, should we just clear them all? I think we should give them one more opportunity to leave before we start clearing them all, because they're not all baddies. How many are bad of this group? About 82% or 82%. So there's definitely like 15 of them that are just in that confused state. Understand that when we clear them, we will remove all of their kind of information or intelligence. They won't be looping around anymore. And let's give them one more chance. Let's bring in Mary and Jesus one more time for this 18% that aren't the baddies. I have this kind of image, almost like a shipwreck, where they're pulling people out of the water. Jesus and Mary and the divine helpers are pulling these people, you know, just exhausted and overrun and gratefully being pulled out of this drowning experience that they were having. Okay, and I get that's done. And then how many ghosts are left now? 64 ghosts are left now. And these are more. Wait a minute, one sec. Okay. Still, maybe a few more that want to leave. So we're just going to open that door and keep holding the space for them to leave. So it seems like there's a couple that say, wait, I'm changing my mind. I don't know if you ever read Yertle the Turtle, and all the turtles are standing one on top of each other. I have kind of that image, and there's also maybe Anasazi or Hopi. They have this idea that the elders would stand one on top of each other to. Yeah, anyway, so it's a really cool image. They're still doing it. They're still moving. Okay, and there's about 30 of them left, and let's go ahead and last through those 30 and just start pumping. And we're just going to chop. We're removing their information and dissipating them, so they won't have a facade anymore, which means they don't have some kind of appearance that they can make themselves look scary or something like that. So everybody pumping. It's an interesting process. It does feel lighter, doesn't it? I definitely feel that there's definitely shifting going on. Question, please. As I am holding space, my torso started to rotate clockwise. Thank you for your thoughts on this. That looks like a ghost jyoti, rotating your torso. So then you would say, that's not me. Or you would do, you know, you would focus on, that's one messing with you. And you can muscle test that too. Is it, because the two things that will come to mind are either is it Kundalini, because sometimes the body will shift or rock with Kundalini, the energy coming up from the base of the spine, or it would be what we are clearing, the spiritual parasite, and that's what it was a ghost. Yeah, just chop, chop. Uh-huh, exactly, Jyoti. And then, Alex, what makes the dark energy? Are these all human spirits? Can you explain ghosts a little more, please? Okay, so first of all, the dark energies don't have to do with spirits. It's satanic energy that's kind of taken over the planet Earth, and we're lightening up the Earth. And I think I mentioned on Earth Day this coming year, I'll hopefully have a few thousand people working with me, and we will lighten up the entire planet. So if you'll just notice that any room that you go into, it's dark unless you're actually setting it at a bright color. So that's one thing. And then ghosts are, you know, people who have died. And some people move on and some people don't. If you've been unresolved and you've had your opportunities on the several occasions to move on and you don't, you get a little confused and you stay. And as you noticed, and as I noticed, of the 117 ghosts, gosh, most of them weren't nasty, evil spirits, belligerent. They, when given the opportunity to move to the heavenly realms, a lot of them said, yeah, I want to go. It's pretty cool. I would always bring in Jesus, Mary, Kuan Yin, Buddha. You know, I would always bring them in, and depend on your culture, I'd bring in the spirit guides for that culture. When a spirit sees Jesus and Mary, they kind of wake up. They know who they are, and they're like, oh, my gosh, I have this opportunity. And they remember themselves to at least a certain extent. And that's sort of what was happening. Oh, my God, there's an opportunity to go with Jesus? Oh, my God, I got to go. Where they get lost in the confusion of being on planet Earth, and they don't even know on some level that they're a ghost. They just keep walking around doing what they're doing, kind of unaware that they are not in a body anymore, and or unaware that they have any other choices. So there's a point where kind of amnesia sets in. Okay. Yes, and are all these demons, transmortals, and more created by God? Or who did it? Well, we have a supreme being that oversees planet Earth. And I wouldn't necessarily attribute these critters to that beautiful divine being that oversees our planet. But understand that there are all kinds of... that creation is so great, and there's darkness and light, and all is the opportunity to grow, you know, from whatever contact you have. Aliens obviously come from other planes or dimensions, so aliens aren't from our planet. Mm-hmm. But when you ask that question and then I ask, were they created by their God? I got to know. But were they created? And I got to know. And then I ask, were they designed? And I got a yes. I got a yes that they were designed. So somewhere in the scheme of things, there's a group or a energy that has the power to create, not create, design these critters. Really good questions, you guys. I haven't looked at this. I don't ask the whys. I just like, oh, they're in front of me. Clear them. In the house, ghosts can be there for hundreds of years. So they are very likely not from you particularly. In your body, they tend to be family members, but not always. I I think demons and angels, on some level, had, you know, were created in that same. So I don't know about transmortals. I'm not really sure because transmortals are from the demonic realm, but they seem like an alien race that got into the angelic realm. They don't really seem like demons and angels to me. And I get a yes when I test on that. They're in the demonic angelic that realm, but they came from an alien place. Vanya, design and create. Like, I think of a design as like engineered, you know, like they're designed. And create feels like Genesis to me. Feels like, you know, new life. And it looks like, you know, they were replicated or, you know, engineered somehow. Do any of the alien races that are around know anything about love? I think that's one of the things that they're so curious about is our compassion, our love, the way that we interact, because they don't have that in their design. They don't have love. They don't have compassion. They don't have the pursuit of high endeavors. So we are such a curiosity to them. I think that's why so many of them end up here and in us trying to figure out what's going on with us. I think if you looked at the differences, I'm like, this is just an exploration. There's no like set in stone. But when I'm staring into what is it that makes us so extraordinary, and why are the aliens so fascinated with us that, you know, there's hundreds of them around. And when I'm looking at our design was we were made in the image of our creator, and we were created in that image, and that's the truth. So whether you see it as designers created us, but who we are loving and compassionate. We have many complex facets to our nature, our essential nature, our human animal, all the things wired in together and how they work together. So we have all those instinctual things, and we have our high self, our spirit, our essence. And then when I look at, when I compare that, and I'm not one to really compare, but it's an interesting conversation. So when I compare that and I look at some of these alien races that are disturbing us, it's almost like they were created like a machine in a way, like they weren't modeled after the creator. They weren't modeled after something divine. They were modeled after some kind of technology or some kind of, I don't know, it's hard to put into words, but maybe you guys are understanding what I'm saying. So they were designed like a car to do a specific thing. I guess they were designed to work, so be laborers, so maybe that's the process, I don't know. Good. Good, Alex. Fear does attract them, Abhanya. Group mind definitely magnetizes demons. People in the Catholic Church and in like the Baptist Church have a lot more demons than people not involved with the church. So group mind does. There's a group mind agreement. I know I'm attending a Catholic church because it's just a mile from my house and I can go for a run, shower, and get down to the service before the morning is completely gone. And the priests will occasionally talk about the demons. And I'd never heard that in the other churches I've attended, Unity and the Episcopal Church. I've never heard anybody talking about demons, but in the Catholic Church, it comes up kind of on a weekly basis. So there's like a strong group mind that we're fighting the forces of evil. And I just let that wash over my head but it helps me understand that there is a very strong group mind that gets reinforced kind of on a weekly basis, that we're battling. We're the Christian soldiers battling. Oh, that's great. You know what I think is that when we understand, things are no longer fearful. You know, we don't feel fear anymore. We feel powerful beyond measure. We may not want to participate in, you know, these curious explorations that all the aliens are wanting to share with us. We may say, well, that's not my thing, but I get you, and move on, you know? Love wisdom. It really creates a lot of freedom, doesn't it? When you can say, oh, they're not just here to bug us and attack us. They're here because they're curious. I also think that we're fun. I think that human beings are fun and probably fun to mess with, but we're fun. I mean, you know, when you think about all the different things going on in our thought processes and our body and our hormones and our chemistry and the organ function and eating and what you see and the senses, we don't have all the senses. We have all these senses. We have emotions and senses, and it must be a fun ride for them. They go into a Disneyland or something. But I'm not willing to be the ride. I'm not being willing to be a ride. We are really amazing. When I am comparing, there's the 8 races I'm aware of that disturb the human physical, the human blueprint or our bodies. And I'm looking at us compared to them, us to them, and we have it all. I mean, we have so many things that they don't have. They do have intellect. But when you look at the joy that we can experience, the bliss, the happiness, the connection, none of that is part of their experience. We are so fortunate to be in these human bodies. It is really an awesome miracle. And by really being the owner and, you know, really occupying this body, owning it 100%, we get to really experience full self-expression and joy, enlightenment here and now. Knowing makes a huge difference, Vanya. I'm glad I am free of religion. Thank you for that. I have felt that. Yes, definitely opened my heart. Wow, we are so blessed. We really are. We really are. So when you think about that and you think about we've got the big game, you know, we're in all the universe. We're the ones who have the best possible scenario. We have the most. We got all the goodies. We got all the bells and whistles. I mean, if you just think about, you know, smelling roses, I don't know how many of you, I it's an aphrodisiac for me. I smell these roses and it's heaven. And, you know, how our body was wired for sexual pleasure. I mean, you know, that's incredible to not just procreate, but to have such an intense and beautiful, deep pleasure from sexual union. I mean, that's incredible, right? And the bliss we can go into in meditation, or the joy we can feel as we're hiking out in the woods. I mean, we're feeling, we're beings having emotions, and, you know, there's so much opportunity for happiness, for joy, for bliss, for delight. And we have so many words for it, you know, because it's an important part of being human. Elizabeth loves flowers. Yeah, we can work on sexual pleasure. That would be during the regeneration day and a half that we do. So Sunday, half day, and Monday, all day. And that I think that's a great thing if some of you would like to work on that. It's interesting, the Golden Age of Miracles asked for the same thing, as can we please work on unlocking, you know, some of the mysteries to really feeling great in your body with sexual union. So we can definitely work on that. Aside from demons, do you think that certain individuals more interesting to them, like those on higher frequencies? I think that they're really interested in the ones that are interested in lower frequencies. And then I think it's mostly lower frequencies that they're drawn to, and or if it looks like you're going to be one of the game changers on the planet. But you can also agree that, you know, because people in kind of mid-range, they have importance on something's trying to stop me, or I'm battling something. And so it gets to be part of their psyche that, I'm of a higher energy vibration, so they're pursuing me. I think that what you'll find is those people in lower vibrations have a lot more of them than the higher vibrations. The higher vibrations feel it a little more because they feel held back, where the lower vibrations don't feel held back because they're living in the low, murky energy. So they're not trying to accelerate themselves. And the thing is, I think the one thing that I want to really leave you with that idea, is that you have to make it of no importance to you. You know, just like taking a shower or, you know, having a bowel movement. I mean, you just clean them out. I mean, it's just wash them off or empty them out, however you empty them out. It's that unimportant. Once we get kind of clear, and then you clear every day. And it's just like, I'm not part of this. I'm not interested in, you know, I know people after a day of clearing, they say, oh, I'm going to be a Ghostbuster. I say, you know, you can help your clients and your friends, but don't promote yourself that way, because you've then taken on that, you know, you against them kind of a thing. And I would much prefer you to be, it's kind of like what Elise was saying about something that shifted, where she's not focused on what's wrong. She's expanding, and her heart is expanding, and she's feeling the universe in a different way. And that's what I want to say about the whole thing about spiritual parasites. It's just clean them out. They're nothing. They're just like you'd wash your hair, and you're not thinking you're doing battle with the dirt in your hair, right, in the hairspray and whatever, you know, dust got in there, you're not doing any battle. You're just washing your hair. This is washing your hair. You know that when you wash your hair, it'll feel great and it'll shine and you'll like it. So it's just kind of like that. I think if you could look at it like that, that would be really amazing. And then you have the tools. So, you know, when washing your hair, I probably have like 8 hair products that I use between I do deep conditioners and I do shampoos and conditioners and I do gels and root lift and, you know, all the different things that I use for my hair. So you have all the different tools to remove spiritual parasites. And as you really perfect your muscle testing, you're going to be able to really identify who it is, what it is, and just clear it. And that's just like having all the hair products. You know, you've just got all the tools you need to remove them. Yeah. Okay, I was thinking about that, how not to be focused on it, but my experiencing the divine light and love and light, beautiful. Sex is connected to creativity and money, and that right in our sexual chakra. It can be, Vanya. It can be. I know one of the teachers, she really loves to teach that sex and money are the same thing. I don't know about that. I mean, like, you know, if you don't have money, you don't have a good sex life, and you don't have a good sex life, you don't have money, or something like that. I haven't really followed her teachings. She's a nice lady. And it's an interesting theory. I do very well with my money, and I haven't had a sweetheart for a while. I've had sweethearts, but I'm interested in a partner, so I'm not sleeping with anyone. So I haven't slept with anyone for quite a while. And I don't think there's any angst in me. There's not a disappointment that I'm, you know, whatever. So I don't know if they go hand in hand. Maybe. Maybe if they're aligned, you don't have to. I don't know. I don't know what the rules are for that. Are sex and money going hand in hand? Is money second chakra? Is money first chakra? I think money is first chakra. It's survival. So it comes in on that energy of survival. Is money in any other second, third? Will is also really connected with, so that would be third chakra, first and third chakra, heart. Yeah, so I get chakra 1 and 3. Our money, and the sexual chakra for men is 1 and for women is 2. And then 4. So 1, 2, and 4 for men, 2 and 4 for women for the sexuality. They may, though, be related in the brain, like in the emotional brain. That might be where you can find that connection of feeling deserving or worthy. That might be one of the places that they come together. Let's see. Oh, glad you liked that, Elizabeth. You're welcome, everybody. Okay, so we have cleared the ghosts completely, 100%. So there shouldn't be any ghosts. Is there any ghosts in anybody's house? No, I kind of know. So let's move on to entities. And entities are really, they're the least troublesome, but they come in swarms. So you might experience them like a big anthill with a whole bunch of ants on it. It's just a whole bunch. They're not very smart. And if you are clairaudient, I don't necessarily wish that any of you are, because it's a little bit of a bugaboo, but they don't say intelligent things. In other words, entities are, you know, kind of low life forms. So what a bug might say, they don't have a big vocabulary and they don't say very much. They might yak, 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 but they don't say anything that makes any sense. And that one you just do the quantum pump for. And entities in the group, and we just clear the whole thing to zero. and entities for the whole group. Around 60,000 entities for the whole group. Okay, my dears, we're clearing. And, okay, good. And while we're doing that, why don't we sing? We'll sing Earth My Body, Water My Blood, Air My Breath, and Fire My Spirit. It's just a little chant. My friend Elizabeth Tripp wrote that. Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath, and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath, and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath, and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath, and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath, and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath, and fire my spirit. Yay! Ooh, this one's really sweet, too. And I think Elizabeth wrote this one, Judith wrote this one, too. It's called the Well Song. And it goes, where are you going and where have you come from? What are you doing in this world? What are you drawing out of the well? Who will you, what will you serve? Where are you going and where have you come from? What are you doing in this world? Hang on one sec. Let me just get the melody. I haven't sang this in like 7 years. Where are you going? Keep pumping. Will you, what will you serve? What are you drawing out of the world? Who will you, what will you serve? Where are you going? Where have you come from? What are you doing in this world? Where are you going and where have you come from? What are you doing in this world? What are you drawing out of the world? What are you drawing out of the world? Who will you, what will you serve? Who will you, what will you serve? That's pretty. Return again. We'll do that one next. Return again. Return again. Return to the land of your soul. Return to what you are. Return to who you are. Return to where you are, born and reborn again. Return again. Return again. Return to the land of your soul. Return again. Return again. Return to the land of your soul. Return to what you are. Return to who you are. Return to where you are, born and reborn again. Return again. Return again. Return to the land of your soul. Return again. Return again. Return to the land of your soul. Return to what you are. Return to who you are. Return to where you are, born and reborn again. Return to what you are, return to who you are. Return to what you are, born and reborn again. Return again. Return again, return to the land of your soul. Return again, return again, return to the land of your soul.
Let's see where we are. Some more questions?
Saint Germain, and he explained the same about our bodies made of earth elements. Only the spirit fire comes from God. Interesting, though, because our bodies are made of earth elements, but they can be activated into a God state, and that is because we have the quantum field to support us, and love, of course. So our not just our spirit or our essential nature is God, but our physical body can also transcend into its God state. Love that one, beautiful. Ah, so beautiful. Return home. Yeah. I think the old paradigm, until this new era, the old paradigm was that we wanted to get out of our clay bodies, our bodies made of earth and clay and pain and suffering and all of that stuff. And in the new era where we can transmute our bodies to bodies of light and elevate the body, which is part of, it's wired into our blueprint. The light of the cell is wired into the blueprint. You know, even back, Mary ascended, took her body into heaven. Jesus took his resurrected body into heaven. You know, he took a physical body into heaven. So, you know, it's wired into us that we can elevate our physical bodies as well as our spiritual bodies. And it is part of our blueprint to be able to do that. Even hear about Yogi Nityananda, who was Muktananda's teacher. And he would disappear and reappear. And he was put in prison for not wearing clothes. That guy just was a naked yogi. Big fat, naked, big belly, naked body. And the locals put him in prison. And it was kind of all very funny to him. So he would be sitting in the prison cell. And the next minute, he would be standing out, smiling and waving at the police. And then he would go back and sit in the prison cell. And, you know, he could just transmute his body, put it, create it into light, be able to do whatever he wanted, go where he wanted. So it's kind of funny and cute. But it is wired into our blueprint to do it. It's not just for the lucky ones. I mean, obviously you have to have some skill to do it or a higher spiritual vibration eventually, all of us will. Yes, going into God's state. Beautiful. About 50% clear on entities. This was a good day. how to be a great sense of peace. It's so interesting that we started out with tech glitches, went to the phone, and then came back. I feel like the class is so grounded, and there's so much love here, but there's a great deal of ease in the class, right? I'm feeling it. I'm not feeling anybody struggling right now. Lots of good questions, desire to expand into more love and light. I feel that so strongly from each of you. Teleport to California. We'll just beam you up. We'll get Scotty to beam you over, Elizabeth. Yeah, entities, aliens, obviously alien, the word alien means not from this plane, and entities are... entities are from another dimension, but on planet Earth. So they are from planet Earth, but coming through from a different dimension. Good questions. No air, the tickets or airport security. That's funny. Grace and ease from Sharon. Yeah. Yay. I'm coming. Are any of you close to New York City? I'll be out doing a couple segments for the Lifestyle Channel first part of October, like October 8th or something like that. So I'll be out there for 3 days. I don't know if any of you, I haven't seen any New York people. Tell me I'm going to fly into Manhattan and the studio isn't very far. Exactly, Alex. My mind is so quiet. How many dimensions in this world are there, from Dana? I've seen 16, so we kind of exist at different frequencies and speeds, so other dimensions exist and other things exist in the same place that we exist in. That's that kind of conceptually hard for people to imagine that there might be 16 layers of different dimensions right where we are, so other things are going on, you know, simultaneously in a different dimension. And Vanya, how do they enter the domain? Do they have to change the vibration? How do they do it? You're asking about entities, how they've come from one dimension to another. Interesting. For that dimension, it looks like they can see our dimension, and the entities can live in the house. That's interesting. They go for the body, the house. They can live in animals. That's Interesting. And if they're in this dimension, they're not in their dimension, so they jump in. Do we go into a different dimension or just this one? Well, from what I'm muscle testing, and I would want to do this three times to say it like set in stone because different days you get different information. I see us kind of in the 11th dimension, and our sleep space is more like the 15th dimension. So when we leave our bodies, it doesn't really feel like we're in the same dimension, right? When we're sleeping at night and we're having lucid dreaming, that's a different plane. I know there have been times when I feel like I'm living two lives. I'm living my life in the physical world, and then I'm living my life in the astral. And I bet some of you have that same feeling, like they feel like two lives, and you pick up and you do the physical stuff, and then it does feel like for me that the astral is on a higher vibration, so that I'm up, in that other plane. And does everybody go to the 15th dimension when they sleep? No. Okay. Is everybody on this call in the 11th dimension? Yes. And do some people go to a lower dimension? Higher? 13. So some of you go into dimension 13 for your sleep space. Now, again, like I said, I'm only testing this once today, and I would normally test three times on different days at different times to, say that this is like set in stone information. And especially since we're clearing spiritual parasites, I would definitely want to double check that at another time when we aren't clearing spiritual parasites. I live, right, the lucid dreaming. So for Elizabeth, that's a yes. And we're about 80% clear on the entities, so we're doing really great. This afternoon, we'll be doing our afternoon on karma clearing. And so we'll be learning about cords, contracts, agreements, energy in each other's body, karma, how everything works, how to clear it, the hand techniques. And we'll be doing a guided meditation to clear that energy. So it's going to be a good afternoon. How do we know what dimension we're in? Well, I tested that everybody on this physical plane is in the 11th dimension. But again, like I said, I would test on another day. I wouldn't just... Clearing spiritual parasites isn't the ideal time to, like, go for higher truths. It's the ideal time to just, clear. So when we're in some elevated space, maybe after, our Sunday morning service and we've been doing prayers and things, that's an ideal time to look. Do higher dimensions have higher frequencies necessarily? Not necessarily. Those roses are out of water. Let me take a lunch break. I got to give them lunch. Oh, thank you, Vanya. Thank you. I try to be really as accurate as possible, too. That's when we're looking at some stuff and we're clearing gunk. I'm like, I really want to give you the truth. So
I have been in a few of the different dimensions. So I would say that in this lifetime, I've dropped into a few different dimensions that I'm conscious of. And again, I think it is really hard for people who really, the apple falls from the tree and that's what they see, and what you see is what you get. And so then when you talk about things like this, or, you know, the other day when we talked about the spring and, you know, how we're kind of circling around and we can drop back down it, into different times, I think some of those concepts are really hard for the straight thinker who is the Newtonian physics, you know. No, out of body is not experiencing entering another dimension. Not necessarily. It's just being out of body. You're still in the same dimension. When you go into a sleep space, you don't feel like you're in this dimension, right? Think about it. It feels, especially lucid dreaming, you feel like you're in a different place. It doesn't feel like here. When you just are out of body, you're here. You're here on this plane. You're just not connected with your body other than the cord that's connecting you. And you can go kind of look into what other people are doing, you know, just get out of your body and go look. Or go sit in the Himalayas for an hour and get rejuvenated. I used to have that more spontaneous happen to me while I was walking around my daily life, and I've been very earthbound, which is good so that I can be a good teacher. So I'm not just all of a sudden I'm over in India where they're chanting or whatever. So I'm like, whoa, what was that? And I just kind of, you know, go in and out. But that would be on this dimension. This would be on this plane. ¿96% clear for most of us? I'm 100% clear. 7 people are 100% clear of entities already on the call. So we'll pause for another 4 minutes or so. And then we'll wrap up the spiritual parasite section now in the next few minutes. And then we'll begin with the karma clearing when we come back from our lunch break, our half-hour break. You guys are doing amazing. I think this has been very, very wonderful. You should be really, really quiet in your body. Your house should be feeling better. Oh, by the way, the same thing I know I was going to tell you about how to clear a checkbook or a wallet or your passport or anything. So you could hold your checkbook and just clear the energy by grounding it, you know, just sending a grounding cord down and setting it on release. You could clear your passport by just grounding it and clearing the energy. Your wallet, your purse, just ground it and clear it. And then you have now what the colors mean, so you could set your checkbook on green, you know, and or you could set your wallet maybe on, I don't know, joy, love, peace, happiness, maybe peach, I don't know. But you could pick out, you know, like colors that you set things at. And you could test to see if there were any spiritual parasites. Are there any spiritual parasites in my checkbook and my passport? And I get a no. Are there any spiritual parasites in my phone? I get a no. Have there been? There have been. So, typically technology, anything that has working mechanisms could have spiritual parasites, and typically inanimate objects typically don't, but that's not to say that they never do. Okay, is it safe to leave the body? Can spiritual parasites jump in when you're out of the body? The answer is spiritual parasites can jump in, so you want to turn off any kind of magnetizing, energies around pulling spiritual parasites in, and then you can clean yourself up after you come back. And I wouldn't really do a lot of out-of-body stuff. I mean, it's a little bit fun, but you really do abandon the body. You can set the body in a protective bubble. I know the yogis in the Himalayas, they would sit in these round, they'd put themselves in these clay pots, kind of, and basically sit in a clay pot and meditate for 30 days or whatever. They go into trance. And some of them would wake up and a rat had eaten away half their leg, and I thought, that's no good. I don't want to abandon my body. This body is my temple, and I don't need to be out on the astral for 30 days, you know, doing whatever. So forget it. I'm not doing it. Do it for a few hours. Let's see. Anything else? Yes. Okay, good. 99% clear on entities.